This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios. Going to be with you for the full three. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your Coleco, your Nextel, your turntable, whatever your device is. Just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show is to follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Other side of the glass, producing the show, as always, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Bunch of things to get into with you here. This evening on the show. Look who the Braves are playing. My goodness gracious. Gosh. How about that? How about the New York Mets, huh? How about it, huh?
F the Mets. F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring your kitties. Bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life.
You know, we need to have a tracker. Just to see if we can sweep the Mutts and they can be in last place. Because right now the Mutts are a game ahead of the Nats, right? So they're 23 games out of first. The Nationals are 24 games out of first. Mets are 6-4 in their last 10. The Nationals are 7-3 in their last 10. Now, the Nationals go up to New York to take on the Yankees. So that's an important series for the Yankees if they're going to try to get into this playoff picture at all. So, again, though, if we can sweep the Mutts, who are a pig slop, flea bag, dirt bag of a franchise, disgusting, just filth, pig slop of a franchise, maybe if we can sweep the Mutts, maybe the Nationals can win maybe at least a game over the Yuckies, the New York Yucks, so that we can get them at least. What I'm hoping for is at least a tie for last place. At least a tie. And again, it could not, obviously, this could not happen to a better bunch of dirtbag, scuzz bucket players than the New York Mets. Dede, I don't know if I've ever said this, but I really hate the Mutts. I really hate them.
Yeah, you've mentioned that.
Really? Okay. I wasn't sure. And it's been a long time since we've talked here, but I hate the Mutts. So, again, your lineup for this evening, Ronnie, Harris, Riley, Olsen, Ozuna, Murphy, Pilar, Orlando Arcia, and getting his first start of the year, Vaughn Grissom at second base. Now, the other piece of good news for the Braves, besides the fact that they won 2 out of 3 against, you know, the team's been pretty good. Giants have been pretty good. They've been second in that Western Division behind the Dodgers. The other piece of good news is that our long national nightmare is over. As the Braves today, and he's pitching tonight, they officially called up Alan Winans, and they put Yanni Chirinos on the 15-day injured list, backdated to August 20th, with right elbow inflammation. Can I tell you, this is code for Rodney. You ever see the movie Caddyshack? Ooh, my arm. My arm's broken. My arm is broken. Magically, just out of nowhere, Cinderella story, Yanni Chirinos ends up on the IL. 15-day IL, by the way, too. 15-day IL. That'll get you between now and September, and they can make all the call-ups and everything like that. Can I tell you, it was way past time. Way past time. I think his last three starts for the Braves, I think it was 12 and two-thirds innings and 16 earned runs. 16 earned runs in 12 and two-thirds. Way past time. That experiment was way over with. And I know that the Braves actually, they won those games. Yes, because he pitched so well. It's because their offense could just club the daylights out of everybody. That's why they won, because they average 5.8 runs per game. That's why they're winning, not because of Yanni Chirinos and his 16 runs in 12 innings of starts. They win because their offense bashes and mashes all over the field. So our long national nightmare is over. I was hearing Abe Gordon talk about this yesterday. I was driving around with my daughter and just listening for a few minutes to Abe here and there. And he was talking about, and I agree with him. Everybody has been on board. I don't care who you are in Atlanta. Everybody's been on board with the idea of Yanni Chirinos needed to be either sent down or DFA'd or whatever. When, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays are in a fist fight for their division, right? Like, they're in a street fight, gang fight with barbed wire bats and chains wrapped around their fists to try to win, you know, try to get first place from the Baltimore Orioles. They looked at him and said, yeah, we don't need him. Yeah, we ain't got no use for him. Yeah, we're better off without him. That's how bad it is for him. So hopefully this will be, you know, obviously the last that we will see of him. As he's going to be on the IL now for a couple of weeks. And look, you know, Alan Winans, again, you know what I've been saying day-to-day on my podcast? ABC. Anybody but Chirinos. ABC. Anybody but Chirinos. Anybody. I don't care if it's somebody off of the Decatur softball field that throws underhand. I'd rather see that than see Yanni make another start where you feel like, you know, like when in the old days when Clayton Kershaw, when he'd get the ball and you felt like, okay, there's no way we're going to lose this game. Okay. I felt the exact opposite about Yanni. Every time he took the ball, it was, oh my God, like we got no shot in this game. That's the way every start of his felt like, was like, oh my God, like we're not going to be able to win. We can't do anything with this guy. And, you know, again, so he's now on the IL. We'll see what Alan Winans has. We'll keep up to date with everything Braves related here this evening. Good win on the road for Atlanta United. That was much needed. So good action there. A lot of stars. Yakimakis, I mean, obviously, he was on the All-MLS team. Did you see where Gonzalo Pineda was the MLS Coach of the Week? Whew, how often has that happened? How many times in the last couple of years have we seen that? You mean to tell me our coach did well? You mean we actually coached well? Anyway, yes, I'm taking a shot at Atlanta United. Yes, it's been, you know, a very tumultuous. Well, I shouldn't say tumultuous. I mean, it's been a very up and down kind of year for Atlanta United. But that was a good road win for them. So good for Atlanta United to get the win. Falcons, obviously, and we'll get more into this here coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. But look, you know, 35,000 foot view. I thought the Falcons played well. I thought their starters did what they had to do. I talked about the idea of when we were together last week that I wanted to see Desmond Ridder throw the football. And he had 10 dropbacks on 17 plays. He had 9 pass attempts and the 1 run. He had 10 dropbacks on 17 plays. That's what I wanted to see. I know Desmond Ridder can turn and hand it off to Bijan and Algier and Cordero. I know he can do that. I want to see him throw the football. And I like the way that they rolled him out and they let him throw it around a little bit. So that was all good. And defense played pretty well. I mean, again, I understand no Joe Burrow and all this, you know, kind of stuff. But, again, we'll break more of that down coming up here in about 10 minutes from right now. But just all the way around. Now we get ready for Thursday, right? And believe it or not, what did we talk about, you know, a couple weeks ago? Like, hey, you know, the preseason is going to go by in a heartbeat. Well, guess what? Thursday, the preseason's over. After Thursday night, the preseason is officially done, and we're going to be start heading toward, well, first thing will be cuts, the big cut down after that, and then getting ready for the regular season. You know, we're in, what, about the last, is this the last full week of August?
Yeah, because today's what, the 21st?
Yeah, this is like my daughter's.
Yeah, so this is the last.
I think this is the fourth Monday that my daughter has been in school.
Yeah.
This was her fourth Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they went back on a Tuesday.
Yeah, they went back on Tuesday.
But
the first,
dang, but near the fourth week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's week number four, you know, of being back in school. So crazy to think, but again, we're nearing the end of the month, and Falcons preseason is going to be over with here. How was Corky Kell over the weekend? I mean, I was listening just little bits and pieces, but how did all of that go down?
Oh, man, great time for us on Saturday. Of course, you know, we carried all the games on Saturday, and just really good, man, seeing all the action, man. I mean, high school football has officially gotten underway. It was a good week one for Georgia high school football because you had a lot of big matchups. You had Buford, who's, you know, was going into the matchup considered the number 7 team in the nation, I believe, taking on the number 3 or 4 team in the nation, and they blanked them 18-0. Buford blanked them, St. Francis. So that was a good one. You had a really big matchup on the west side with Carrollton and Langston Hughes. Of course, Langston Hughes won 6A last year, and Carrollton was in the 7A championship game. Unfortunately, he lost, but two of the top quarterbacks in the country, different classifications, but still, that one came down to the wire with Langston Hughes winning by 5. So, I mean, just a lot of good football. And then, of course, like you said, the Corky Kell Classic wrapping up on Saturday, man, and it was great.
So this coming Friday will be our first official high school scoreboard show, right?
Correct.
So this will be, again, we had Corky Kell this past Friday, but this Friday starts our coverage of the Georgia High School Score. What is it called?
The High School Scoreboard Show. Yeah.
So it'll be Sam Crenshaw. It'll be Coach Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And who's producing the show?
This week, I believe, because it's going to be, you know, a mix-up. Not mix-up, but, you know, we'll be swapping
around.
Yeah,
you guys rotate around.
Yeah, so this week, Garrett's going to be producing.
Okay,
yeah.
So Garrett's going to be involved. You're going to be involved.
Yes.
Is Dylon going to be involved?
From time to time. When he's available, okay.
When he's not big-timing? Yeah. When he's not doing the morning shaft or what's that thing called?
Peach pit football thing
he's got. So he's got the peach pit football. He's got the morning shaft. So when he's not big timing you guys, when he actually can, you know, hang around some of the smaller folks, smaller part-time and you know, lower-tiered full-time people, he'll you know, pop his head. Is his girlfriend doing stuff for the show?
I don't know. She hasn't. I know he was supposed to check for her, check with her to see if she was going to have. Because I think her schedule's kind of gotten a little busy.
And then who?
As well.
Eric Slaughter, is he going to be part of it?
Will help out as well.
So we'll have a team of folks on the streets, right?
Correct.
Yeah, we'll have a team of folks covering all of the high school football action. So obviously it's. Yeah, we're huge about high school football here, and obviously, you know, this is one of the best high school football, you know, states in the country. I mean, this is top tier and doesn't take a backseat to anybody. But every Friday moving forward through the high school football season, we will have the high school football scoreboard show, and obviously Sam Crenshaw, Coach Parker, they will have all of the coverage here in studio. And then it'll be a cavalcade of stars. Let's say it like that. It'll be a cavalcade of stars that is on the streets covering all the big games throughout the entire season. So anyway, all right, 404-726-0929. We're going to open up the phone lines to you. I'll give you my thoughts about the Falcons, but have you seen enough of the starters to be satisfied? I know most fans are going to say no, but I'm open to your calls and thoughts about what we saw on Friday night from the Atlanta Falcons. 404-726-0929. Chuckery hanging out in the Keys Studios on this Monday evening. Sports Radio 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. you can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. All right, 404-726-0929. Thoughts about the Falcons on Friday night, and did the starters do enough for you? You know, I know fans are always, you know, wanting more, but, you know, in today's NFL with only three games and the way that the union and you know, the owners and everything have negotiated away all the practices. I mean, you know, things are not going to get played. You know, there's not going to be a whole bunch of starters that are going to play a lot of games. I mean, just the reality of it. You're not going to see your starters for an extended period of time. You got to evaluate in the games. And again, most of this stuff is going to happen in practice. But we always used to hear this about Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Oh, well, they've got to get on the same page. They played for a decade together. They had plenty of opportunity to get on the same page. If the Falcons flutter to start the season, it won't be because Desmond Ridder and Kyle Pitts aren't on the same page. They needed to play more in the preseason. They get all of that in practice. They get everything that they need in practice for it, right? And that's where you're evaluating everything. But I thought the Falcons played well. I mean, I liked what I saw out of our offensive starters. You know, I wanted to see Desmond Ridder throw the football around, 10 dropbacks and 17 plays, I believe it was, 7 of 9, 80 yards. You know, he was off target a little bit. Pitts made a really nice catch turning around. Robinson made the one-handed snag. London made a really nice catch down the sideline. I mean, I thought the starters played well. The only thing that frustrated me is just we got to punch it in, and part of that was just five penalties I believe on that opening drive that just killed that drive. Can't have that happen. But again, this is preseason week number two. You know, this is not week one of the regular season. It's still in the preseason. You got to get through these kinks and these bumps in the road and different things like that. But again, I will go back to the stat that I'm going to watch heavily is, are we 2 out of 3 touchdowns in the red zone? Are we a 67% red zone touchdown percentage team? That's the number I want to see. Because you see that all of this personnel, the Jonnu Smiths and the Kyle Pitts and the Bijan Robinsons, there is no excuse. And that's anything short of 67% in the red zone is an excuse. No reason for this team to not be 2 out of every 3 times they get in the red zone, they have a touchdown. And that's how the Falcons are going to win a lot of games this year. That's how the Falcons are going to turn this thing around and, you know, arguably find themselves leading the division after 17 weeks. So that was the only frustrating thing that I saw really on offense. You know, again, for the rest of the offense, you know, it was fine. I mean, you know, Taylor Heinicke was fine. I like the fact that we threw it 36 times because, again, I know that we can turn and hand it off. Any one of our quarterbacks can turn and hand it off to guys. I want to see us throw the football. I want to see can we be competent because, again, we talked about this. We were not competent last year throwing the football. We were not a competent passing team. You can't. There's a difference between not being a good passing team and being an incompetent passing team. And we looked incompetent for most of the year last year. We've got too many weapons, and we've invested too high a draft capital to be an incompetent passing team. So it was good to see us throw the football around. And obviously, look, the Bijan Robinson carry, right? He had the 12-yard first down run, got everybody excited, felt like he was going to break off another run. But, you know, obviously good things out of him. He finished with four carries for 20 yards, and he had a long of 12, averaged 5 yards a carry. I mean, all good, you know. I mean, again, I feel like that we saw what we needed to see. There's some things to clean up, but by and large, I thought Ridder and the running backs and receivers, you know, whatever they're called nowadays, thought they played well. The only thing that was frustrating for me was our pass rush. And, yeah, I mean, look, you need to sack Trevor Siemian. You know, again, that's a guy. And, you know, again, the only way that the Bungles ran the football was because Jake Browning, he led them in rushing. I mean, he had 50 yards rushing out of the quarterback spot, but the defense shut down the run game of the Bungles. They shut down, really, their offense. But, you know, again, we need to sack the quarterback. That's my only beef is, you know, we got the one late sack, you know, in the game, but I needed to see, you know, more. All right? I needed to see, you know, more out of that. And obviously, you know, week one, we saw a lot of that. We saw a lot of turnovers and aggressiveness and things like that. I needed to see us win more of our one-on-one battles. But we did get the one sack. Helms, I thought, played well again. Second week in a row that he, you know, had played well. And obviously, he came up with the interception. So I thought that the defense, by and large, and again, it's hard to get a feel for, you know, what the Bengals, you know, were going to be just because, again, they didn't play Ja'Marr Chase and they didn't play Joe Burrow. You know, we didn't get a chance to see the, you know, the superstars. And look, the Bengals are an offensive-loaded team. You know, Joe Burrow didn't even travel with the team. They're a high-powered, high-caliber bazooka offense. And we saw that last year, right? We saw how the Bungles offense just took it right to our defense. And that's the game where A.J. Terrell got hurt. Was it A.J. Terrell or was it Casey Hayward that guy? I think it might have been Hayward that got hurt. I can't remember which one of the two starting corners got hurt, but that's when we had to play Cardale Armstrong. And, you know, God bless Cardale Armstrong, but he had to line up against Ja'Marr Chase, and there was no way he was going to win that battle. And that was a tough spot to have to go into. But they're a high-powered, high-caliber offense. And obviously, they've had some issues on their offensive line over the last couple few years. I mean, teams get after Joe Burrow. Teams sack Joe Burrow. So, if anything, for the defensive side of the football, that's the thing that I wanted to see. That's the one thing that I wanted to see. London had a really nice catch, you know, early on. Mac Hollins had a couple of nice catches. You know, look, I think we're good at pass catcher. For everybody who wanted more pass catchers and things like that, I think we're good. We can throw it to Robinson and all of our running backs. Pitts, Kadarius Hodge, you know, Mac Hollins. You know, even guys like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. You know, if he ends up making this team, and obviously Scotty Miller is going to make the team, but I think we have enough pass catchers. I think that we are good there. And I've seen people, you know, talking about the idea of, you know, obviously the big talk for a while was we need to add more guys that catch the football or Julio Jones or this or that or whatever like that. I think we're good there. I thought our offensive line did some good things. I will tell you, you know, Jalen Mayfield had his struggles. When you ask Jalen Mayfield, when you watch Mayfield, if he can just go north and south and run block, and they had Jalen Mayfield lined up at the left tackle spot. If he can go north and south and just run block, he might be okay. If you get into intricacies and passing, you know, pass blocking and all this kind of stuff, then there might be some trouble. I thought Bergeron played well. For what he did play, I was hoping that he would play. He's the one guy that I was hoping would play longer. But, you know, again, he was lined up with Jalen Mayfield to his left. And, you know, that was like, I don't know, that was kind of scary, you know, at one point. But, no, I mean, I thought Bergeron played pretty well. Was he outstanding? No. You know, but I thought he did some good things. I thought that he held his own. and he at least looked competent. Now, again, can't really tell from what was going on, you know, just as far as when you're mixing and matching, you know, all your offensive linemen and stuff, and you're playing Jalen Mayfield at left tackle, that's not playing Jake Matthews, you know, at left tackle. That's a little bit of a step below Jake Matthews is Jalen Mayfield when you're putting him at left tackle. But, again, if you keep Mayfield in a box and do what he does best, I think he can be at least a competent tackle for this team. Potentially, maybe he's going to win that swing tackle job. Maybe not. There's going to be some interesting cuts come after this final preseason game, which, by the way, happens on Thursday night as the Pittsburgh Steelers will be here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium Thursday. Pregame at 5:30, 7:30 on the kick with Wes and Dave having the call. But there'll be some interesting cuts to come because they have the big player dump. And I'm going to be curious to see if the Falcons look at picking guys up. Now that we know Matt Hennessy is on season-ending IR, and this was my big fear, and I've talked about this. I don't know, Day-Day, I don't know if we talked about this on Tuesday when we were here last, but because I don't remember when the Hennessy injury happened, but this was my big fear, was that Bergeron was going to have to play because of injury. Right. It wasn't going to be competition. It was going to be just like what Mayfield had
this
to play.
This is what it is, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's a situation where hopefully we're not throwing too much on Matthew Bergeron too quickly. And obviously, you know, look, he's a talented kid, second-round pick. They wouldn't have drafted him there if he wasn't a talented pick. But when you're talking about it, and I talk about this all the time, this is not beer league softball. This is not your regular third baseman gets hurt and you got to take your center fielder and plug him in at third and live for a day with it and, you know, go eat wings and drink beer, you know, after the game is over. You know, these are tougher things to do than just plug up, you know, your beer league softball, you know, mix and matching of guys. And that's the one thing that I worry about with Bergeron is just, is it too much too soon? Are you putting him into a pressure cooker? And that's why, I would like the Falcons to go out and get themselves a legitimate guard. I don't think Kyle Hinton is a viable piece. I know the one kid that they signed, they signed some guy just off the scrap heap. But once all these cuts happen, I wouldn't mind them seeing them go out and try to find themselves a guard that if he could just be competent. So just in case, just as a fail-safe, because I still have my concerns about, you know, Bergeron and Dahlman side by side with one another. I certainly had my concerns about Hennessy and Dahlman side by side, but I feel a little bit better about Bergeron. I think he's got the size and strength to be able to maneuver people around. But, you know, overall, I thought that the Falcons did, you know, plenty of good things for what the game was, right? For just the fact of seeing our starters, and now we get into Pittsburgh, and most likely you won't see anybody. You know, there'll be some guys. There'll be some guys that you see. You know, again, we saw Ebikadi play a lot in week one. You know, there'll be some guys that will play, the D. Alfords and things like that, you know, are probably going to have significant playing time for this team. But by and large, we won't see the Ritters and the Pitses and the Londons. And I do think that they did enough. I mean, again, it's a different day in the NFL. It's not the four games and you have your routine and week three is the dress rehearsal and all this kind of stuff. Now it's a matter of it's a fast evaluation. And now it's a matter of, two, you're not getting your guys hurt because you got 17 weeks now. You know, having the extra regular season game, say what you will, but that's another week of prep and physicality that you have to account for. And you only have the one bye week that's in the mix. So I thought the Falcons played well. I thought they did what they had to do with their first-string offense. And I thought the defense was still bend but don't break. Just want to see more pass rush. Pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. That's the thing I want to see. All right, when we get back, Lauren Williams will join us, Hawks beat writer, as we'll talk some Hawks basketball with her, take a look at the schedule, among other things. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 on the game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Monday evening. As well, we got the NBA schedule the other day, and of course, early October it will be officially Hawks season as they will get into training camp, and preseason games come up, I think, October 10th. As the preseason schedule will get underway. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our friend of the show. She is the beat writer for the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Lauren Williams joins us. And, of course, you can follow Lauren on her personal Twitter page, at WilliamsLaurenL. And, of course, check out all of her work at AJC.com. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes on the show with me this evening.
I'm so happy to be back.
Well, a couple things. Let's talk about both the regular season and preseason schedule. Mm-hmm. I do think it's pretty cool that the Hawks are going to host the New Orleans Pelicans at Skyhawks, you know, arena, I guess, or whatever you call it. But it is a kind of a cool, you know, idea and in venue. So I do think that the Hawks are doing themselves some good hosting the Pelicans down at College Park and having, you know, an NBA preseason game down there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like last year where the Pelicans hosted the Hawks at Legacy Arena out there in Birmingham, which is the home of their G League affiliate, the Squadron. So I think it's just kind of awesome that, you know, the NBA is trying to make some inroads there and growing the fan base as far as the G League is concerned. And, I mean, the Phoenix Suns, they're actually in the process of trying to get a G League team going out in Phoenix or in Arizona. I'm not sure where the team will actually end up, but I mean, now all 30 teams have G League affiliates, which, you know, will be kind of cool to see how much it can kind of help to develop some of those young players, which is why a lot of these teams go out and get those G League affiliates.
So looking at the regular season schedule, you know, there's some definite landmines, you know, for the Hawks. I mean, they have 5 of 8 on the road to start off with, 5 of 8 to end the year, which was certainly a lot different situation than they had at the end of last year. 5 of 8 on the road to end the year, 4 out of 6 on the road to end the very end of the season. It feels like that this schedule, I mean, again, I know it all balances out to you know, the 82 games, but, you know, again, I look at the NBA in chunks of the schedule. Like, I don't look at the whole thing. I look at, you know, blips on the radar, and, you know, there's some definite landmines when you look at the beginning and end of the year with a lot of road games, and certainly this team probably, you know, again, they probably need to be a better road team overall, not just try to pile up wins at home.
Absolutely. I mean, I was telling someone this exact same thing. We know that they're 41 games at home, 41 games on the road, but it does feel like the Hawks have, for some reason, it just feels like they have a very road-heavy schedule. And as you mentioned, it starts out the season pretty road-heavy and it ends the season pretty road-heavy. They don't have their longest stretch of home games until January when they have, what, a 6 or so home game stand. Obviously, you have to look at the rest of the league to kind of see how that shakes up. But the Hawks do get, in my opinion, a bit of a raw deal where they have to travel for these extended periods to kind of get these games going. And we know what they looked like on the road. We know what they looked like at home. And for the longest time, they struggled at home last season. So I think the big thing for the Hawks this year is making sure that they do protect home base, but also making sure that they're not like the Warriors were last year, where they did really, really well at home, but they had a really hard time out there on the road. So with Quinn Snyder at the helm, you know, you look to see this team really take advantage of his expertise. And now that his system is in place, they have a whole season to get it going.
How are the Hawks approaching this in-season tournament? I mean, that's going to start, you know, somewhere around, you know, Thanksgiving, and it goes into early December. The knockout rounds go into early December. How are they kind of approaching this? I mean, it does count toward the regular season, but, you know, again, it's a tournament, and I don't like it. I mean, I'll fully admit it. I don't like it. I don't see where there's a benefit when there's still 1,000 games to be played, you know, ahead of them. How are they kind of approaching the idea of this in-season tournament?
I think they have to approach it like any other game. If we're being honest, this is a team that had a very mediocre season last year. They were 41-41. So I think as many games as they can get under their belt to build up chemistry, especially since they're continuing to try and run this backcourt with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, the better. So I think that if you're trying to build up camaraderie and go out there and winning some extra money, I think that's a great way to start, especially when you have reports of a team that, you know, kind of struggled to have some of that camaraderie at some moments last season.
Lauren Williams joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You know, the other part of the schedule is, I mean, they play most of the month of March on the road. I mean,
yeah.
like that is, I don't know. I mean, like when I looked at that, just that's a weird stretch that they have where, you know, yes, I understand that the West Coast part of things, you know, when you go out there, you're going to play all your games out there. But most of from the 29th of February until the 21st of March, I mean, they're almost exclusively on the road. I think it's two home games is it. I mean, that feels like a real rough patch of the schedule for any. I mean, I don't care what team you are. I don't care if you're the Warriors or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a tough stretch that the Hawks have come,
yeah,
you know, early March.
Yeah, I think, you know, fortunately for them, it does end up balancing out toward the end of the month there, because they finish off the month with about, what, five home games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's only seven home games total that month alone. I like I said, I feel like the Hawks do get a really raw end of the deal, especially when you're looking at who they have to play. They're playing the Nets. They're playing the Knicks, who, you know, continue to rise. They, you know, went to the second round of the playoffs last season. And then they have the Clippers and Lakers, who, again, are teams that are expected to be competing teams. So I think they got a pretty raw deal there in that month. I think they got a pretty raw deal, in my opinion, when you look at the in-season tournament, when you touched on that a little bit, with how they're trying to compete for it. They compete on, I mean, the last game that they have, excuse me, is against the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is another team that is expected to be a team that goes pretty deep in the playoffs with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland there. So they have, like you said, they have a lot of monsters that they're going to have to face, and you have to hope that this team gets things going early in the season as opposed to trying to turn it on and, you know, having a head coach firing be the thing that lights a fire under their butt.
So, you know, Lauren, let me ask you about the roster. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we hear a lot of rumors, and man, I mean, the rumor mill surrounding the Hawks, they've been involved in every trade imaginable. I don't care what level of player, but the Hawks have been, you know, listed. And I understand, mm-hmm, that websites and things like that have to fill content, but mm-hmm, how much is fact versus fiction? Like, how much do you think the Hawks are really in, you know, again, the Pascal Siakam and, mm-hmm, players like that? Like, how much do you really think, how much do you really buy into some of that talk and things like that that the Hawks are involved in?
Oh, I definitely buy into them being active in those discussions. I mean, part of the reason why a lot of these deals often take so long is because you're trying to get multiple teams involved. And, you know, you want to make sure that everybody comes away from these multi-team deals happy. And those deals are so easy to fall apart. We saw it happen with the Boston Celtics and the LA Clippers when they tried to trade Malcolm Brogdon as part of that deal that ended up getting them Kristaps Porzingis. So I definitely buy into it. And then you also have to factor in that, you know, it's been noted that Pascal Siakam says that he doesn't intend to extend his contract with whatever team he ends up getting traded to. So you have to factor that into the decision-making and that process that, you know, the Hawks are trying to be players in that market. But, you know, it's hard. If you're asking me about that Pascal Siakam trade, if I were in that front office, I wouldn't do it, especially if you have a guy who has come out and said that, you know, he's not willing to re-sign. You know, I love Pascal Siakam's game, but I'm not sure with this roster as it stands right now, even if you move some of the reported pieces that, you know, this team has been reported to have dangled out to the Raptors there, I don't think he makes this team better right away. And I think they're a couple pieces away from that.
So, you know, I guess I kind of put you on the spot with this. Do you think that the Hawks roster, talent wise, is better than better now, or you know, let me ask you, is the Hawks roster better right now today than they were when they lost to the Boston Celtics and wrapped up the season?
You know, right now I don't think this team is better than when they ended the season. In fact, I think that, you know, with trading John Collins, which is a deal that they definitely needed to make, you know, I think they got a little bit worse, especially in the front court. I think right now you have to bank on a guy like either Sadiq Bey or Jalen Johnson kind of really stepping up to fill that void that they lost with the John Collins trade. I mean, they lost another pretty good rim protector who had Clint Capella, you know, kind of, you know, there helping him out. I know that's a very, very mild way of putting that, but they were a very big duo. You're also banking on Onyeka Okongwu having another big year, and I don't think there are any plans for him to move to the four, especially because he's, you know, currently their backup five. So I think you're banking on some of these young players really having some breakout years, and time will only tell if these guys will have those breakout years. So as the roster stands, I don't think they did get better.
So, Lauren, I mean, give me some therapy all of this, because console me, you know, rub my head. I mean, something, because it feels like for almost a year now, every move has been about salary cap. I totally agree with you that, again, I keep saying this, they're not a better roster than they were when they lost to the Celtics. But every move feels like, every time I see a move from the Hawks in a transaction, well, we saved $3.5 million here. Well, we saved $6 million here. Well, we've got the John Collins. But, you know, we have this exemption. Well, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, again, but if you're going to take advantage of the $25 million exemption, you're going to go right back in the luxury tax if you enact that. So, I just feel like every move that the Hawks make is surrounded around the salary cap and luxury tax and not so much getting better. And I know they won't say it that way. Perception has the same effect as truth. And if everybody looks at it and says, well, gee, the Hawks are just trying to save themselves some money. I mean, help me understand that these moves are trying to get better, not just lower the luxury tax threat or be over the salary cap.
Yeah, I think that if you're able to go out and make a trade to take advantage of that John Collins trade exception, then, of course, you're trading for somebody that will make the roster better. So at least they have that flexibility, especially heading into the trade deadline. You get to see kind of who's available and who's, you know, looking to make deals happen, especially some of those teams who might be ready to buy now and win now in terms of the finals and everything like that. So I don't know. I personally, as it stands, I'm glad that this team isn't in the luxury tax. I'm glad that they have a lot more flexibility moving forward to try and make something happen. So I think that's kind of what I walk away from a lot of the deals that they've made so far. It's just having some flexibility as they try to build this roster to be better.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's the consolation prize that you can take away from this right now.
Yeah, I want a better basketball team. I don't know how you get there. And again, I know all of the rumors that the Hawks are. I just want a better basketball team. I want this thing to get turned around. And I personally don't think that just having Quinn Snyder is enough to just get this thing where it needs to be on track. I still think that there are things about this roster that are flawed, but again, that's why they play the games, right? I mean, that's, you know, we'll see what happens in all of this. So, Lauren Williams, she covers the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Constitution. Check out all of her work at AJC.com, and you can follow her on her personal Twitter page at Williams Lauren L. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes on the show. We'll chat again, obviously, here through this preseason and getting into the regular season.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chuckery.
You got it. John Chuckery here. Sports Radio, not to the game, the Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Monday evening. As well, we got the NBA schedule the other day, and of course, early October, it will be officially Hawks season as they will get into training camp, and preseason games come up, I think, October 10th. As the preseason schedule will get underway. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our friend of the show. She is the beat writer for the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Lauren Williams joins us. And, of course, can follow Lauren on her personal Twitter page, at WilliamsLaurenL. And, of course, check out all of her work at AJC.com. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes on the show with me this evening.
I'm so happy to be back.
Well, a couple things. Let's talk about both the regular season and preseason schedule. Mm-hmm. I do think it's pretty cool that the Hawks are going to host the New Orleans Pelicans at Skyhawks, you know, arena, I guess, or whatever you call it. But it is a kind of a cool, you know, idea and in venue. So I do think that the Hawks are doing themselves some good hosting the Pelicans down at College Park and having, you know, an NBA preseason game down there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like last year where the Pelicans hosted the Hawks at Legacy Arena out there in Birmingham, which is the home of their G League affiliate, the Squadron. So I think it's just kind of awesome that, you know, the NBA is trying to make some inroads there and growing the fan base as far as the G League is concerned. And I mean, the Phoenix Suns, they're actually in the process of trying to get a G League team going out in Phoenix or in Arizona. I'm not sure where the team will actually end up. But, I mean, now all 30 teams have G League affiliates, which, you know, will be kind of cool to see how much it can kind of help to develop some of those young players, which is why a lot of these teams go out and get those G League affiliates.
So looking at the regular season schedule, you know, there are some definite landmines, you know, for the Hawks. I mean, they have 5 of 8 on the road to start off with. 5 of 8 to end the year, which was certainly a lot different situation than they had at the end of last year. 5 of 8 on the road to end the year. 4 out of 6 on the road to end the very end of the season. It feels like that this schedule, I mean, again, I know it all balances out to you know, the 82 games, but, you know, again, I look at the NBA in chunks of the schedule. Like, I don't look at the whole thing. I look at, you know, blips on the radar, and, you know, there's some definite landmines when you look at the beginning and end of the year with a lot of road games, and certainly this team – probably, you know, again, they probably need to be a better road team overall, not just try to pile up wins at home.
Absolutely. I mean, I was telling someone this exact same thing. We know that they're 41 games at home, 41 games on the road, but it does feel like the Hawks have, for some reason, it just feels like they have a very road-heavy schedule. And as you mentioned, it starts out the season pretty road-heavy and it ends the season pretty road-heavy. They don't have their longest stretch of home games until January when they have, what, a 6 or so home game stand. Obviously, you have to look at the rest of the league to kind of see how that shakes up. But the Hawks do get, in my opinion, a bit of a raw deal where they have to travel for these extended periods to kind of get these games going. And we know what they looked like on the road. We know what they looked like at home. And for the longest time, they struggled at home last season. So I think the big thing for the Hawks this year is making sure that they do protect home base, but also making sure that they're not like the Warriors were last year, where they did really, really well at home, but they had a really hard time out there on the road. So with Quinn Snyder at the helm, you know, you look to see this team really take advantage of his expertise. And now that his system is in place, they have a whole season to get it going.
How are the Hawks approaching this in-season tournament? I mean, that's going to start, you know, somewhere around, you know, Thanksgiving, and it goes into early December. The knockout rounds go into early December. How are they kind of approaching this? I mean, it does count toward the regular season, but, you know, again, it's a tournament, and I don't like it. I mean, I'll fully admit it. I don't like it. I don't see where there's a benefit when there's still 1,000 games to be played, you know, ahead of them. How are they kind of approaching the idea of this in-season tournament?
I think they have to approach it like any other game. If we're being honest, this is a team that had a very mediocre season last year. They were 41-41, so I think as many games as they can get under their belt to build up chemistry, especially since they're continuing to try and run this backcourt with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, the better. So I think that if you're trying to build up camaraderie and go out there and winning some extra money, I think that's a great way to start, especially when you have reports of a team that, you know, kind of struggled to have some of that camaraderie at some moments last season.
Lauren Williams joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You know, the other part of the schedule is, I mean, they play most of the month of March on the road. I mean, like that is, I don't know. I mean, like, when I looked at that, just that's a weird stretch that they have where, you know, yes, I understand that the West Coast part of things, you know, and when you go out there, you're going to play all your games out there. But most of from the 29th of February until the 21st of March, I mean, they're almost exclusively on the road. I think it's 2 home games is it. I mean, that feels like a real rough patch of the schedule for any. I mean, I don't care what team you are. I don't care if you're the Warriors or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a tough stretch that the Hawks have come you know, early March.
Yeah, I think, you know, fortunately for them, it does end up balancing out toward the end of the month there, because they finish off the month with about, what, 5 home games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's only 7 home games total that month alone. Like I said, I feel like the Hawks do get a really raw end of the deal, especially when you're looking at who they have to play. They're playing the Nets. They're playing the Knicks, who, you know, continue to rise. They, you know, went to the second round of the playoffs last season. And then they have the Clippers and Lakers, who, again, are teams that are expected to be competing teams. So I think they got a pretty raw deal there in that month. I think they got a pretty raw deal, in my opinion, when you look at the in-season tournament, when you touched on that a little bit, with how they're trying to compete for it. They compete on, I mean, the last game that they have, is against the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is another team that is expected to be a team that goes pretty deep in the playoffs with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland there. So it's they have, like you said, they have a lot of monsters that they're going to have to face, and you have to hope that this team gets things going early in the season as opposed to trying to turn it on and, you know, having a head coach firing be the thing that lights a fire under their butt.
So, you know, Lauren, let me ask you about the roster. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we hear a lot of rumors, and man, I mean, the rumor mill surrounding the Hawks, they've been involved in every trade imaginable. I don't care what level of player, but the Hawks have been, you know, listed. And I understand that websites and things like that have to fill content, but how much is fact versus fiction? Like, how much do you think the Hawks are really in, you know, again, the Pascal Siakam and players like that? Like, how much do you really buy into some of that talk and things like that that the Hawks are involved in?
Oh, I definitely buy into them being active in those discussions. I mean, part of the reason why a lot of these deals often take so long is because you're trying to get multiple teams involved. And, you know, you want to make sure that everybody comes away from these multi-team deals happy. And those deals are so easy to fall apart. We saw it happen with the Boston Celtics and the LA Clippers when they tried to trade Malcolm Brogdon as part of that deal that ended up getting them Kristaps Porzingis. So I definitely buy into it. And then you also have to factor in that, you know, it's been noted that Pascal Siakam says that he doesn't intend to extend his contract with whatever team he ends up getting traded to. So you have to factor that in into the decision-making and that process that, you know, the Hawks are trying to be players in that market. But, you know, it's hard. If you're asking me about that Pascal Siakam trade, if I were in that front office, I wouldn't do it, especially if you have a guy who has come out and said that, you know, he's not willing to re-sign. You know, I love Pascal Siakam's game, but I'm not sure with this roster as it stands right now, even if you move some of the reported pieces that, you know, this team has been reported to have dangled out to the Raptors there. I don't think he makes this team better right away. And I think they're a couple of pieces away from that.
So, you know, I guess I kind of put you on the spot with this. Do you think that the Hawks roster, talent wise, is better now? Or, you know, let me ask you, is the Hawks roster better right now today than they were when they lost to the Boston Celtics and wrapped up the season?
You know, right now I don't think this team is better than when they ended the season. In fact, I think that, you know, with trading John Collins, which is a deal that they definitely needed to make, you know, I think they got a little bit worse, especially in the front court. I think right now you have to bank on a guy like either Sadiq Bey or Jalen Johnson kind of really stepping up to fill that void that they lost with the John Collins trade. I mean, they lost another pretty good rim protector who had Clint Capella, you know, kind of, you know, there helping him out. I know that's a very, very mild way of putting that, but they were a very big duo. You're also banking on Onyeka Okongwu having another big year, and I don't think there are any plans for him to move to the four, especially because he's, you know, currently their backup five. So I think you're banking on some of these young players really having some breakout years, and time will only tell if these guys will have those breakout years. So as the roster stands, I don't think they did get better.
So, Lauren, I mean, give me some therapy all of this, because console me, you know, rub my head. I mean, something, because it feels like for almost a year now, every move has been about salary cap. I totally agree with you that, I keep saying this, they're not a better roster than they were when they lost to the Celtics. But every move feels like, every time I see a move from the Hawks in a transaction, well, we saved $3.5 million here. Well, we saved $6 million here. Well, we've got the John Collins. But, you know, we have this exemption. Well, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, again, but if you're going to take advantage of the $25 million exemption, you're going to go right back in the luxury tax if you enact that. So, again, I just feel like every move that the Hawks make is surrounded around the salary cap and luxury tax and not so much getting better. And I know they won't say it that way. Perception has the same effect as truth. And if everybody looks at it and says, well, gee, the Hawks are just trying to save themselves some money. I mean, help me understand that these moves are trying to get better, not just lower the luxury tax through or be over the salary cap.
Yeah, I think that if you're able to go out and make a trade to take advantage of that John Collins trade exception, then, of course, you're trading for somebody that will make the roster better. So at least they have that flexibility, especially heading into the trade deadline. You get to see kind of who's available and who's, you know, looking to make deals happen, especially some of those teams who might be ready to buy now and win now in terms of the finals and everything like that. So I don't know. I personally, as it stands, I'm glad that this team isn't in the luxury tax. I'm glad that they have a lot more flexibility moving forward to try and make something happen. So I think that's kind of what I walk away from a lot of the deals that they've made so far. It's just having some flexibility as they try to build this roster to be better.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's the consolation prize that you can take away from this right now.
Yeah, I want a better basketball team. I don't know how you get there. And again, I know all of the rumors that the Hawks are. I just want a better basketball team. I want this thing to get turned around. And I personally don't think that just having Quinn Snyder is enough to just get this thing where it needs to be on track. I still think that there are things about this roster that are flawed, but again, that's why they play the games, right? I mean, that's, you know, we'll see what happens with all of this. So Lauren Williams, she covers the Atlanta Hawks, the Atlanta Constitution. Check out all of her work at AJC.com, and you can follow her on her personal Twitter page at Williams Lauren L. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes on the show. We'll chat again, obviously, here through this preseason and getting into the regular season.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chuckery.
You got it. John Chuckery here. Sports Radio, Nets of the Game, the Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.